I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Super Mamas. How are you? Welcome back to the show.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Your two favorite sisters, Pauline and Bricia.
And your favorite podcast, The Super Mamas.
How are you doing, Paulina?
Good.
What's new in the world of mom of three? What is happening?
What is happening?
What's going on, older sister?
That's your favorite thing to say now, huh?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
like, oh, my
after
older
I knew that
sister.
Was a thing. After I knew that was a thing, I was like,
it is actually not a thing. I don't know where you got that. It was
from
one
Vanda
person that
and
said
her
it.
Sister. Well, I just she just gave me the okay.
I revoked that okay.
I didn't know people could go around the world saying those things. Well, now that's my favorite thing to say when we're in public. Hi, it's my older sister, Paulina. How are you doing, older sis?
What else? People still get very confused. I see that confused look in their face when you say that. They're like, really?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It does not look like she's your older sister.
I'm still going to say it. This is audio format. People don't know what we look like.
There is video out there in the world, guys. Go check it out. Go see me. I do not look older. Nothing. I mean, yeah, ¿qué te puedo decir? Aquí just dealing with my age, I guess. You know?
Well, I hosted a party this weekend. I hosted a birthday party this weekend. My son turned 8.
I know.
And I was sharing this with a mom at a party. I put a new screensaver in my phone of his photo in front of Eduardo when he turned, the week he turned 5. And when the week that he turned 5 was the first week of the pandemic. And this picture is him and I going for a hike. You know how in the pandemic everybody went for hikes? You know, you all remember like 2020, March, April, May, you know, like let's go for a walk, guys. Let's like go out in nature. Let's see. Let's stay away from people. Let's go and hike and like put a mask on, right? So it was us going on a hike across the street from our house, and he's standing there, he's holding a little flower. And every time I see this photo, I just it's so emotional because the jump from 5 to 8 was massive. And I'm sure from 8 to 12 is going to be another huge. Because I feel that every 3 years after your child turns 5, they are, I don't know, ¿cómo se dice?
Exponentially
exponential.
Growing.
They're exponential. That's the word I'm looking for. I mean, obviously, you know what? Never mind. 0 to 3. Hello. They're like newborn and now they can like talk and walk, right? So there goes anything. But
I just feel like every year is different.
I just feel like it's, but I think like is 5 to 8. I still, like when I looked at him, he had little chubby cheeks, right?
Yeah.
He still had like that baby face.
Like a little bit, like a little belly pouch.
Little belly pouch. Like he was still like a grown up toddler, right? Mm-hmm. And now he like is missing teeth. He's got dyed hair. Like he's, you know, he's silly. He and I was telling my son, my friend, he does not like he's starting to smell. He doesn't have BO, but there's like a lingering stench that happens with a little 8-year-old boy, right? Whether it's like, because at this point, I'm not showering him. Like I'm not going into the shower and scrubbing his body, right? That's his responsibility. So he doesn't like to wash his hair all the time. Like there's like a lingering something happening, right? I had to have an intervention with him and had a huge conversation about body hygiene and now that he's 8. And also this sinking feeling that I realized like 5 to 8 went so fast. I'm like, before you know it, you're going to be 11. And if I don't show you these things right now, you're going to be a smelly ass boy.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but they will be a smelly. Apparently it's a thing. I have asked many parents because that's my struggle with Krista and she's a girl. And I tell her all the time. I mean, I told you this, we've gone through the conversation of from your body's a temple, God made one of you to like, girl, get in the shower right now.
Like girl, smell.
You smell, you know, I've gone through like, babe, you know, like you're a woman, your body, you know, come on. to like, okay, no, not ya métete a bañar porque ya hueles feo. Like, you know, I've gone through all of it and I've talked to a lot of different parents around this age, boys, girls, and they're like, yeah, they don't want to shower for some reason. They don't want to, they smell.
The showering isn't the issue. I don't know. It's just, well, for him right now, it's the hair washing. So it's, he doesn't like to shampoo his hair.
And he has a lot of hair.
He has a lot of hair and he likes it when it's, you know, textured and the whole situation. So I think it's just like the hair situation, but I don't know. There's something, there's like a, I'm telling you, there's like a lingering, there's a lingering something.
Like my husband says, it kind of smells like como que acaban de nacer unos perritos. That's what he said, like newborn puppies. I'm like, what?
There's a lingering something. There's like a hint of something happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
coming
yeah.
out of him.
And now he sweat. Now they sweat a lot. You know that they start sweating a lot more as they get older.
Yeah,
it was interesting. It was interesting to see because I've been around girls all my life, you know? I mean, not all my life. Yeah, mostly all my life. And then my kids' life.
And you go to girl birthday parties.
Girl birthday parties, you know? And then I went to the boys' birthday party and there was a lot of screaming, a lot of rough play, you know? A lot mm-hmm. of rough play. That was very interesting. It was good. It was so fun to see how they really get into things like that, right? The laser tag, it was like a thing. It was so fun.
Oh, the boys were really having so much fun. I mean, they give a little boy like a laser tag situation. They're just running around. I did one round and all the kids were following. Like there was a kid who followed me the entire time and he wouldn't let me. I had to like run away and hide from him because he would just be on me and just keep shooting me.
What about the parent that you found texting inside?
Oh my God, so funny. One of the moms, because I was like, I told everybody, let's just do one parents against kids. I'll just do moms, you know, just once. And I think it's easier for dads to do it for some reason. You know, dads are always faster to go and play. And I realized yeah. just dads, they're fine. They're just grown ass kids. Men are all grown ass kids. Women, you know, we tend to just overthink things a little bit more. So I told, come on, guys, I'm going to do it. Like, you're going to do it? I'm like, yeah, okay. Then it just takes one mom to say yes and then pull the other ones. Like a little chain effect. There was one mom that really didn't want to do it. But another mom said, come on, I'm going to do it. Let's come with me. She's like, okay. But she didn't seem very, you know, like she really wanted to do it. And then I'm like running around and I turn around and she's in the corner texting in the middle of the laser. I'm like, girl, get out here. Come on now. Get out here.
She was like, it was my husband. Like, how would you even know if you're like, you had to have both of your hands on the thing. Like, how are you even?
She was just chilling in the corner, just like on her phone. I'm like, we are dying out here. These kids are coming after us. We need everybody out here.
Oh my God. It's a lot. You know, I watched a movie this weekend. I don't know if you've watched the movie Hook. It's a really good movie, by the way.
I haven't.
It's the old movie with like Robin Williams and like mm-hmm. Tinkerbell's Julia Roberts. We watched it.
Oh, she then, is?
Yeah, she is. And then wow. in one of the scenes, Captain Hook tells the kids, your parents don't love you. They put you to sleep early so they can be without you and like be, you know, be
I am not trying to watch
free.
This movie.
And it was because he was, no, it was.
But low-key, kind of truth.
Well, then Sabina's like, see, even Captain Hook says that parents don't love their children. See, mom, you don't even Wee. Love me. That's why you put me to sleep. I'm like, oh my God, girl, please. But the truth is, yes, sometimes we need some peace and quiet. Sometimes we just want you to go to sleep as soon as we get home so that we can have some free time. Because there's a lot of screaming and a lot of things happening. I'm like, it's too much. It's a lot. So we do need a break. Thank you, Captain Hook, for normalizing those conversations. Anyway, we have an amazing guest today. We're going to learn a lot from her. Who do we have on the show today, sister?
We have Alejandra Graf. She's a Mexican food lover and wellness pusher. I don't know if you all are familiar with Alejandra, but she is the founder of Piloncillo e Vanilla and the newly relaunched alecooks.com. It's a bilingual blog about her experiences, food philosophy, recipes. She lives in Houston. She has three kids. We talk about how she moved to the U.S. only 12 years ago, which is crazy. Her journey of vegan shaming in her Monterrey family. Her tips on how to make kids eat more veggies. And last, the last end of the interview, she goes in deep about how she runs her blog, how she manages, how she started, as she goes into a little bit of the business insights. So make sure you listen to the whole interview. This was fun. I learned a lot from her.
Yes. And don't forget to stay tuned after for our Supermama Picker Tip of the Week. So without further ado, here's Alejandra Graf interview. So enjoy. Welcome to the show, Ale. How are you?
Thank you so much. So happy to see you both.
So happy that you're here. I can't wait to get into the conversation. But before we get started, Ale, for those supermamas who don't know you, can you please introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, who you live with, what you do. How did you get to where we are right now? Please tell us all things, Ale.
It's been a journey. I'm Alejandra. Hi to all. My blog is Piloncillo Vainilla in Spanish. And now it's Ale Cooks in English. It was called Brown Sugar and Vanilla, but I just changed it. And I'm Mexican. I've been living here for 12 years.
And in Texas.
I've been in Texas, yes. Well, in the
Houston,
States.
Texas.
You moved 13 years ago from Mexico to here, to the U.S.
Yes, 12 years ago, yep. I lived 2 years in Austin, and then from 2012 to now in Houston.
I love it. How did you, I mean, that's not so long ago, right? That's not
so long ago.
Like compared to like, I moved when I was like 12. So like when you moved, was that like a big change? Like moving?
Oh my God.
Why did you move?
And where did you live before?
In Monterrey. I was born in Mexico City. Okay. And then when I was 16 years old, I moved to Monterrey, Mexico. And when we were in Monterrey, like a lot of things were going on in Monterrey, like security wise. And I even think that with us as a family, we really needed a change. Me and my husband needed like to start fresh again. So we decided to move. We opened a map and we were like, okay, where should we go? Austin? And we were like, yeah, it sounds cool. San Antonio? No, I don't like it. Houston? No, too far. Okay, let's move to Austin. And we moved. So
I love Austin.
How old were your children? Would you have children then, or you already had the three?
Santiago was 9, Sofia was 6, and Romina was 5.
Wow.
No, Sofia was 7. Yeah, well, it's the same. Yeah. So we started again as a family. So it was like a huge change because, as you know, in Mexico, we have a lot of help. And not only help at the house. I had my friends, my family, my parents, everybody, right? So going to Austin, I had to like learn everything from cooking, doing laundry, running a house. And you have no buffers. You have nothing there. So it's like you, your family, and that's it. And my husband, he had his business back in Mexico. So he drove back and forth like every 15 days, every 20 days. So I was practically alone with the kids in Austin. So it was a huge change.
Yeah, that must be hard.
Yeah, it was hard, but it was beautiful also, you know? Like I felt like I got my kids back, my family back, my house back. It was so challenging, but there was never a plan B. So we had to make it work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that usually happens. And your blog, tell us a little bit about your blog so that the supermamas are more familiar about what you do. And how did that get started?
It was a joke. I mean,
too many questions at once.
No. I love it. I mean, I love to answer all of these questions because if I did it, anybody can do it. I've been vegan forever. I like to say that I was born vegetarian because I never liked like meat or fish or the chicken. Never. I never liked the taste of it.
So that was a question I needed to ask you because you're from Monterrey. Girl, that's like the capital of Mexico. So when you say you're from Monterrey, in my mind, I'm like, this woman was having her like carne asada every weekend. She was curing her meats. And then she moved and became vegan. But now you're saying you were in Monterrey and you were vegetarian in Monterrey living there?
Yes. But I was like a closeted vegan because nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I come from a very, very foodie family and my parents always made a point to eat together at least once a day. So my mom is from Sinaloa. So the north part of Mexico.
So then you were down with ceviche.
Yeah, with ceviche, asado, everything. Tacos dorados, everything. My mom is from Mexico. My dad is from Mexico City. And they love Mexico. So we've always had food and traveled around Mexico a lot, right? So every time I ate in a different state or at my house or in Monterrey or whatever, I always ate like guacamole or the enchiladas. But the mushroom enchiladas, if you think about it, Mexican food has a lot of vegetarian meals, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. There's always beans, there's always salsa, there's always totopos, there's always something. So in Monterrey, no hay carnes asadas, I was always the girl with the quesadillas or with taquitos de frijol or whatever. But it was like my son was born with dairy allergy, but not just the dairy, that like the casein. So that's a protein of the dairy. Yeah. So we had to remove cheese, milk, everything, even products. I started to read the labels, everything of everything I bought and gave them. So when he was around, like, I think 4 or 5 years old, he told me, why do you eat cheese and I don't? And I was like, you're so right. So from that moment, I became vegan. But I was still living in Monterrey and eating tacos de frijol and everything, not the carne asada. And when I remember a friend of ours invited us to her ranch and she gave us carne asada for one day. And then the other day was, I don't even remember, but I just remember cutting the pieces of meat and swallowing them without even chewing them or anything. But that was a point when I was like, no, you know, this has to stop. So I was like, hey, I don't eat meat. I've never eaten. I don't like it. But it was a huge shock for all of my Monterrey friends and my family and everybody. So it was so bad that people stopped inviting me to parties and stuff. I mean, it was bad.
Vegan shaming.
Yeah, totally. But it was also the vegan shaming. And I was like, really, when I started reading all the labels and everything that I fed my kids, I became like so conscious about what we are feeding them and all the additives and the food coloring and all the poison that there is in their food, that my friends told my kids, like, I'm going to take your kid to go to the park or whatever. And they took them to McDonald's because my kids never eaten McDonald's and gave them like hamburger and everything. And it was like total shock for everybody and for me. And it was not working. I became like the police of everything, like checking that my kids ate healthy and ate their vegetables. And it was bad. So my kids started telling me a lot of lies, like, no, I went to the party. But you know, in Mexico, right? I mean, parties, kids' parties are like a huge deal, mm-hmm, right? It's like food and candies and cakes and everything. So they started to tell me like lies that I didn't eat this candy or I didn't taste the cake or whatever. So I started to relax a bit. And I was like, no, I need to find like a balance between me being vegan, me being like so health conscious, and my kids enjoying their life, right? When we got to Austin, I was like so relaxed. Now my kids tried everything and I was in paradise, I mean, because Austin is like vegan friendly, like everywhere. So it was great.
So wait, so that you never liked meat, or was it more of when you were a child, you saw an animal get, you know, sacrificed?
Let's see. No, I never liked it. You know, my mom is really picky.
So like you're not down with carnitas?
No. No, let me tell you, when my mom is very picky. So every time she fed us like chicken or whatever, it was like the clean meat, everything was perfect. You know, like,
oh, got
so
it.
I never saw the bones or fat or whatever. And when I ate out to have like tacos or carnitas, I had to open the taco.
So then your mom gave you pretty looking food, you're saying?
Yes, all of the time. And my dad, being from Mexico City, he always took us to eat carnitas. And he had family in the Estado de Mexico. So that's where the carnitas, like the home of the carnitas is. So every time we were there, I always got like the maciza, like the perfect little piece of meat with anything on it. And I was always more in love with the salsa and with all of the toppings that you add to the taco, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even my tacos were like, I had to open them up to see if there was like, I could eat it or not. So from a very young age, I never enjoyed it. and never made me feel good. I always feel like thirsty, felt like thirsty. And I think we do not get along.
Got it. Fine.
Yeah, but it was a complete shock to live in Monterrey and do not eat meat. So
No, I can only imagine. Again, all my friends from Monterrey, they're the biggest meat eaters ever. And every weekend they are smoking meats and they are curing meats. And it's a huge, huge meat community. So when you told me you were from Monterrey, I was a little shocked and I thought it came from somewhere else. Okay, so then you moved to the States. Finally, you felt like you were at home because you found a vegan community that embraced you and didn't shame you. And your kids now they started going to school. And when did you decide to start writing about your experience and sharing your recipes with the world?
You know, it was when we were in Austin, it was like I said, like a process of regrouping and finding our family dynamics again and learning how to live in a different country, learning the language, everything. So when we got to Houston, my friends from Monterrey that at the beginning were like super skeptical about my diet and being vegan and my kids not drinking milk. They started to have kids with dairy allergies and other types of allergies where they had to like stop feeding them milk or whatever. I don't even remember. So I spent a lot of time on the phone and I was like, no, you just do this or échale tantito or just switch it up and stuff like that. And it came to a point that my husband was like, my husband moved after 2 years from Mexico to live with us. So we were like all the family together. So I spent so much time on the phone that my husband was like, stop, I can't do this anymore. You're not even giving recipes. You're just saying to add a little bit and stuff like that. So write a blog. And I was like offended, you know, I was like, what? Of course, I'm going to write a blog. So I went to my computer and what's a blog? How do you do one? And from there, it started. So it started like to share my experience with my kids and how do I feed them and how do I do certain things to help my friends that had kids with dairy allergies. But from there, it like I fell in love with the process and it's been going. And now it's been 10 years.
We met in person a few years ago.
Yeah, in Los Angeles, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. At the Wheel and Grow Summit, I think.
At the Wheel Grow, yes. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I started following you. I love Pinterest and I love your Pinterest.
Thank you.
I love it. And I love all of your recipes because they are Mexican friendly. Like I really do. I'm like, okay, like I can do this. This is something that I'm on board with. And I think that's why I enjoy a lot of your recipes because they just like very, well, I think one, they made me realize, like you were saying, how much a lot of our food is very vegetarian, vegan friendly. And it's still like very Latina, very Mexican. The flavors are there. And so I started doing a lot of your recipes, like las sopas. You know, now I put spinach on my soup.
Yeah.
Now the kids are like, now the kids got used to it. And even if I do like fideo soup, I add spinach. I add a little bit of spinach in there. And now I'm like, oh, you know, I really enjoy cooking from your recipes.
Thank you.
And then it's a familiar flavor. I think it's like, it eases you in into like eating more vegetables without really, I feel like we have this idea that once we become vegan or once we, you know, change up or a few things that the taste just goes away.
Yeah.
But no. And I was like, oh, this is very comforting, familiar food.
Oh, but I have to tell you, remember the recipes I did for you for the mole?
Uh-huh.
Well, they're still one of my top rated recipes on the blog.
I was going to say that one you did a Buddha bowl that we shared also on our site with our mole starter.
Uh-huh.
It was like the first time that we got to work together and the first time that we had a vegan recipe because our mole is vegan gluten-free, but that's not something that we don't promote enough. So I love that collaboration that we did together.
Yeah, it was so fun. And you know, since then, my mom came to live here like 5 years ago, my parents, both of them. And she became like a huge fan of your mole. And my brother lives in Australia. So every time she goes there, she travels with your mole to Australia.
God,
yeah. And now she just came back like last week from Australia. And she was telling me that now you have this pouches. And she's like, that's so easy because I just packed a lot of pouches in my bag. And there they go to Australia. So now your mole is over there.
They got there. Okay.
The mole is in Australia now. And my brother just makes it when he really likes somebody because he's not going to waste the mole.
Yay. I love it.
Yeah. It's so delicious.
You know, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you in is because I think a lot of the moms always talk about how difficult it is to introduce vegetables to the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids are 11, 8, and 5, and I think I really had to be very dedicated and very, you know, to kind of like, and I'm not going to say force it into them, but like present it every time. So now they're like, okay, you know, I'm going to eat it because if not, she's not going to get off my case. But now they like them, right? Now they enjoy them. But it's work. It takes a lot of work. And, you know, it's like hiding the vegetables here, hiding the vegetables there. But I think like a lot of moms struggle with that and the guilt of like, I want to add more vegetables to my kids' diet. How do I do that? How do I start if I want to introduce more vegetables? Because we're all about a healthier life, right?
Yeah.
We all want to have a healthier life. We want to have a balanced life. I don't know if I would ever be able to go full vegetarian, to be honest with you, or vegan, because I just love my meat so much. Like, primero, quítenme la vida, pero no me quiten las carnitas, you know? Like, I can't. But I feel like to have like a more well-balanced life, how do we introduce more of that to the kids? How did you do that? I mean, what's the advice that you were giving your friends when they were trying to make changes?
Well, one of the things that I did is like, when I went vegan, I discovered so many flavors and so many vegetables and so many different cuisines that for me, being vegan became like a very inclusive diet instead of a restricting diet. So when my friends ask me, what should I do or what did you do? I never tell them to remove stuff from their diet. Do the opposite, like include more vegetables, different beans, different lentils, different colors, try different cuisines, do tons of different things, right? And with my kids, what I did is like, I always told them, as I told you before, I arrived to a balance where they were allowed to taste everything, but they had to eat like really healthy at home. Now my kids, none of them is vegan. All of them are adults. So, I mean, my kid, my oldest has 22 years.
He's a grown man, yes.
Yeah, he's a man, and he makes his own decisions and everything. And I was, at the beginning, I have to confess that I was shocked. And I talked to a friend, and she was like, your parents made you eat meat, and they were, like, forcing you to eat it, and you liked it? And I was like, no. So why are you doing the same thing with your kid, but the opposite? So let him eat, let him try, let him decide. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. So that's when I always also started with the theory of including more and being healthy at home and drink your juice, drink your smoothie, and drink everything. So you can go outside and try the yuckiest restaurant or the best restaurant or the snacks or whatever you want to do, right? I played a lot of games with my kids when we arrived to Austin. I took them grocery shopping with me and we did games like, okay, let's find the ugliest vegetable here. So everybody came like with the ugliest vegetable, like a rutabaga, or I don't remember the name, or like weird stuff. So we got home and we just Google it, how to cook it, what do we do, let's prepare it and stuff like that. I know it takes time, but it was like my sabbatical year. So we had time to do everything. And then they cook with me and I always tell them, I mean, this vegetable has this, let's try it this way or not. I'm not a huge fan of hiding vegetables. I'm more open with them and I always tell them that, well, when they were young, that vegetables have different powers and secrets and then we can call them like different powerful names. Like, I don't remember, but the kale had a, like my son named it with a dinosaur name, like kale. Kelosaurico or something like that, you know, because it makes you big and powerful and stuff like that. So just play with them and inform them and tell them the truth that they are powerful and they will make you better and healthier and like the typical the carrots will make you see better and stuff like that. So
I actually like that. I like that, that I do see a difference now where I am bringing my kids in to cook with me. That really makes a difference. I realize how much of a difference that makes because they're actually making it. They're actually putting it in there and they feel proud that they did that. So when we sit down for dinner, they're like, I did that. I made that. Yeah. I cooked that. And I remember I shared on the show before that we had the opportunity to go to the taping of a cooking show with the kids. And they were so happy that they did that. And in there, they had the grape tomatoes, the sweet ones, right?
Yeah.
So my daughter was like, I want those tomatoes. Those tomatoes. We need to cook them. We saw them at the store. She grabbed them. And she was so like proud that she got them because when we went there, the little girl grabbed one and just put it in her mouth like it was great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're cooking. She like puts olive oil, you know, we put it in the oven. She puts it on the plate and then she grabs it and she eats it. And then she starts like bawling, like crying. And she's like, I did not like it. And she was crying so much. She was like, I did not enjoy that flavor. And I was like, it's okay, but at least you already know
you tried.
At least you know what it is. She cried. I don't like tomatoes. And I'm like, you know what? I didn't like tomatoes growing up either. So I get you, girl. You know, but at least now she cooked them. She knows what they taste like. And she's like, yeah, not tomatoes. Let's try a different thing.
A different thing. And you know, it makes them proud. I remember that when my kids were young, they took red cabbage salad to lunch. And the kids were like, oh, what is that? And then they shared. So I started packing like little containers so they could share. But once my daughter came back, like somebody shared her something and she was super excited and she got home and she's like, look, mom, she showed me a package and she's like, look, here's what they shared. It was like, okay, let's see. She opens the package and I'm like, what is that? Chicken bones. She has never, she never saw like bones from the chicken ever in her life. And she's like, look what I brought. And I was like, oh.
That's so funny.
It was so funny. Yeah. So they shared a lot and they also got to be shared.
So like, what are the top three easier dishes to introduce more veggies in our home? What's your most popular dishes that you have that are kid friendly?
They're kid friendly. I think like the sopas, I have one that it's with chickpeas and carrots. And that's super, super good for kids because I mean, all kids like carrots, right? And I always do it with baby carrots. So they have like tiny, the pieces are the same size as the chickpeas. So I love that. And that's one. My mom made a lot of sopa e pasta with pasta soup with vegetables. I have it on the blog also. So I love that. And I also love to do enchiladas that are super kid friendly because it's like a roll tortilla. And I like to fill it with brown rice, beans, and greens. So I do that and then cover it in green salsa that it's not spicy. And then I add cheese or vegan cream or whatever. And kids really love it. And you know also what? The pesto. I make a vegan pesto. And then we don't realize how powerful basil is, parsley is, like all of the vegetables that we sometimes feel like them as toppings or garnishes. They're so powerful and they're full of benefits. So I love to add a lot of salsas and pestos and all of that also to my food. And I think that's great also for kids.
Do you do food prep at the beginning of the week or do you cook?
No, I cook as I go. I mean, with the blog and everything, I have to confess that I'm the worst at organizing myself because I go grocery shopping and I buy everything that I don't need, you know, and I come back home, it's like, oh, I forgot this. So I always, like, I try to shoot and cook what I'm going to post on the blog. And that's the thing that we eat. Or what I do is if I do prep, I do like to have pesto, salsas, all of that like already in the fridge. So if I'm like in a hurry or whatever, I just do like a quick pesto or I do like enchiladas or something like that. Or even, I mean, Mexican food is so great that even if you have like a green salsa verde in your fridge, you can turn it into a pozole or you can turn it into something else, right? So I do not food prep, but I cook as I go.
I love that. Yeah, because I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I didn't food prep. I'm not going to be able to do all these like meal. And I think what I like about the dishes that you put out is that they're very simple to make, like very fast. I think that's one of the benefits of like eating vegetarian or vegan is all those, the vegetables cook really fast. So it's like a fast meal that you can do in the middle of the week. That's what I found.
It's super fast. I mean, you can do a fried rice and add some tofu in there and tons of vegetables. And then you have like your whole meal in there, right? So it's very, very easy.
And what is your favorite protein to use when you cook?
I learned like adding protein like tofu and beans and like really, really normal protein, right? But now that we have a huge amount of faux meat and sausages and all of that, I started to include them in a very few recipes. Like, for example, my mom being from Sinaloa, they have this albóndigas. They're meatballs that are made with masa instead of bread or egg or whatever. And with beans and with lentils, I could never achieve the best consistency to make them. So I started using the faux meat from Impossible Meat. That's the one that I like. And I have my albóndigas, my perfect albóndigas, right? But for the most part, I always add beans, tofu, and I use a lot of lentils also.
A lot of lentils.
But you know, it's amazing. Like when I was saying that for me, the vegan diet is like very inclusive and expansive. I had no idea that there are like more than 800 types of legumes. So, and each legume has a different type of benefits and protein levels and antioxidants and all that stuff. So if you start cooking with a whole different range and variety of grains, beans, legumes, vegetables, I mean, there's plenty to cook and to enjoy.
I think like we're just so used to like the white rice, the black beans. And what I found out is like when I let the girls choose a different rice that looks very interesting, they actually have enjoyed it and they, you know, they're okay with it. And I think sometimes what happens, like in my house, for example, my husband gets really, when he cooks, he gets really scared of adding like too much stuff. He's like, they're not going to eat it. I'm like, no, you got to offer it to them.
And then they're going to
eat it. Watch. And then when I sit down and I eat with them, they eat them, they try it out. Like I said, and I tell them, even if you don't continue eating, at least you already know what it tastes like. And you're not always wondering what, you know, if it's nasty or not. Like, just give it a try and see what you know, just experience it. I've slowly changed a few things.
Or unless like when I do it, they do it.
Well, that's the truth. My husband doesn't. He's like, oh no, they're not going to. I'm like, Adam, vas a ver que si se los come.
So you speak Spanish and you're both in your houses, both of you?
Yeah.
Or you just English? Sí.
Es me los too. Dos, español, inglés. Sí, de los dos.
Yeah, we do too.
Es un mix.
Un mix? No, in my house, I try to protect the Spanish. Like if they speak in English, I'm like, I don't understand you. I'm so sorry. It's funny because when they have friends over, like they're from other parts of the world that they speak Spanish, they turn to me, they speak in Spanish and they speak in English with their friend. Like they it's so funny. So
it's good practice.
Yeah.
I mean, my youngest has the hardest time speaking Spanish because we stopped for a long time. And so
and
now
the
I'm
opposite
like,
for me.
Yeah. Like Brisa's youngest is the most Spanish speaker of the whole family, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She speaks only Spanish.
I see you as my kids are going to be when they grow up. Because, I mean, we are the parents from Mexico that are right with them, like young, right? Yeah, so we've been like, the only thing that they don't do is they do not read in Spanish. And I really tried for them to start reading in Spanish, but they couldn't. I mean, it's okay. They learned in English.
Yeah, and I think also here in Los Angeles is different because, like, my kids go to, like, a dual immersion school. So they speak both, they read both, they do both there. So that helps.
Uh-huh.
Porque yo solo en la casa, I wouldn't be able to do it. Because, you know, my husband is like an English learner. So he's like trying to learn and speaking English with the kids. And now I'm like, now you learn. Now you got to speak Spanish again. And, you know, it's this whole thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you so much, Ale, for coming to the show
sharing
all, you know, like to make this easier on us a little bit. You know, I feel that sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves, all the moms out there.
Yes.
We put a lot of pressure and we got to do this like one day at a time.
Yeah, and it's a game. And you know what I also did now is that we had Pirates Day at home. And Pirates Day was the day that we could eat outside. We could eat very relaxed. I was focusing on them having fun, not me like, your manners. Ate everything that's on there, you know. And they also had to choose like a snack, a fun snack. So that was our Pirates Day. And so they were looking forward to Pirates Day. So the whole week they ate everything that they could. And they were like perfect and well behaved. And on Fridays we had our Pirates Day. And it was like, or pizza or whatever. And obviously it's like pizza, but with salad or chips, but with salsa, freshly made salsa and stuff like that. So yeah, it was fun.
I love that you say their manners. Cause like, I feel like because you're Mexican and I'm like so Mexican too. I'm like, siéntate bien. Baja los pies.
Me too.
Mamá, sí, que sí.
Baja
los codos. Siéntate bien. Pon tu silla bien, you know, the whole time.
I'm the home. Yeah. So Mexican. If they're going to sit down and eat.
I want to ask a question about your blog, really. I know I want to just be respectful of your time, but I'm really interested. I know there's so many women out there right now who are dreaming up of starting a food blog. Or tell us how you got started, what you were doing, and how it started to grow and how big it is right now.
As I said before, I Googled what's a blog, how do you do it, and stuff like that. And at that time, I was also studying a lot of Chris Carr's content. Chris Carr, she's a girl that has cancer. She published like 2 or 3 books on food and how to be healthy and all of that. And by her, I learned about Marie Forleo, a girl that has a B-school and business online school. So I took her course and it was funny because everything like started to align once I decided that I wanted to do that. But I mostly Googled everything and then I took the course and that course helped me a lot. I mean, it's called Marie Forleo, the B School. So maybe I can send you the link later.
Yeah, for sure.
And she teaches you how to make a blog and how to hone in your communication and how to do the things right. And I also started, like, as I said before, in Mexico, I did not cook. I did not do anything, right? So, I mean, I knew how to cook, but not every single day and not to do everything myself, right? So I divided the blog in 3. I was like, first, I need to learn how to cook. Then I need to learn how to take pictures. And the technical part will go with the first 2. So I took the course on how to do the blog. And then I enrolled myself in a professional plant-based professional cook certification, or I don't even remember the name, but it was like a chef course.
Class.
Yeah, class. It's a certification on how to cook and how to learn to cook properly. Cause I thought if I'm going to do this online and a lot of people, I'm going to see it, I better know what I'm doing. Right. So I certified myself and then I started taking the pictures, but I always divided it in 3. I don't know if that kind of, you can understand my thought process. And every certain times I go and reevaluate that. But when I started 10 years ago, it was so hard because you had to do all the coding yourself and you had to do all the things yourself. So I started slowly adding some people to my team. And the first guy I added is a tech guy. So that helped a lot to grow and to do the things properly and stuff. And then from there, like practicing and showing up every day and cooking every single day. And now I'm going back to check all the recipes that I did at first. And oh my God, I mean, they're like spelling mistakes, grammar mistakes, the recipe card is bad, the pictures are awful. But I mean, at least I started. So probably my best advice would be to just start. I mean, if it's that thing you're going to do and you're going to love, it's going to align and everything's going to work out. It's a lot of work though, but it will work.
I would also like to know a little bit more about your blog because it is really hard to keep up. a blog, it's a lot of work. How do you organize yourself? How do you plan ahead what recipes you're going to make? How's your day to day? How do you organize your day? What does your calendar look like? Because I feel like it's a full-time job, you know, social media, it's a job. A lot of people think there's not a lot of work involved, but it's a lot of work. Can you talk a little bit about how you organize yourself?
Yeah. I mean, like a normal day for me would look like this. I wake up at 5 o'clock every day and then I work out, and like at six something, I go into a kitchen and start, depending on the day, because I have like shooting days where I shoot and film all the recipes, and I have computer days. So depending on the day, I just go in the kitchen. My daughter, I have one more kid here at home. The other two are in college, and it's so sad. It's so hard.
I know. I don't even want to think about that.
No sabe. Es horrible. But I have my last girl at home. And so that's been, I mean, a blessing in disguise, because now my days are almost for me. So I have more time to work here in the blog. So what I do is at 6 o'clock-ish, I give her breakfast, because I always cook breakfast and I still pack her lunch. And then, yeah, even though she's in high school and stuff, but I do it. And then I start prepping, for example, the shoot days. I start like figuring out like which recipe goes where, which ingredient goes there, what I'm going to do and stuff like that. And then I shower and I start, right? And I cook all day long and shoot pictures all day long. I mean, I have days where I do like 4 or 5 recipes. And that takes a lot of time, because it's like I cook, I chop, and then I take the picture and I chop, and then I start cooking and film the video and stuff like that. It's a lot of work. So my calendar, I organize it by season and by ingredients. And I'm still getting better and better at organizing myself and organizing the blog content and stuff. Because now I have more time, right? Because when I started the blog, I was posting on soccer fields, like Googling, like running with my computer everywhere to catch like that, you know, the Wi-Fi. But now I have like a whole month of recipes that I want to do and recipes that I want to update. And then by week, I decide which recipes I'm going to do and which recipes will work better. There are amazing platforms right now. I use Airtable to organize myself. So I have like the calendar, and each day it has like a recipe, right? So if you open the recipe, you have all the information from that recipe. It has like, if it's in Pinterest, if it's a new recipe, if it has a video or not. So right now I have like my tech guy that works with me, and I have a designer also that works and helps me edit videos and stuff. So like everybody's in the same page. And then I have like other platforms where I schedule my social media content. Like I do, for example, Later, and then Later I have all of that.
So Airtable, you said
Airtable. Yeah.
And that keeps your recipes in order.
Well, that keeps my content calendar in order. Yeah, I know what I'm going to do. So the days that I'm shooting, for example, after Romina goes to school, I know what I'm going to do that day, what recipes I'm going to shoot. And then each recipe card, I upload like the videos that need to be edited and the social media and all of that. So I'm always like a week ahead, not that much ahead.
Wow.
Yeah.
A week ahead seems pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A week ahead sounds great. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge, Ale. I mean, we could talk for days with you.
I know. That's so fun.
But please tell the Super Mamas where they can check out your recipes, where can they can follow you, how can they learn more about what you do. Share all of your outlets.
So my blog in Spanish is piloncilloyvainilla.com. And you can find all of my recipes there. My Instagram is piloncilloyvainilla. And Pinterest, YouTube, Twitter, all of that, it's the same, Piloncillo Vainilla. And now my blog in English is called Ale Cooks. It was called Brown Sugar and Vanilla. And we are just starting.
I like Ale Cooks better.
You do? Everybody has said that. Yeah, it like tells you more about it, right? And it's easier. Yeah. And yeah. But I mean, I did the domain switch 2 weeks ago. I mean,
Acaba
de ser, o sea, nada.
And I also want to tell you how much I admire your consistency.
Thank you.
Your work ethic. The amount of time that it takes to write a blog and not just in Spanish, but you're doing both English and Spanish. I think it's incredible to see your journey. What you do is not easy. What you do takes a lot of work, a lot of patience, a lot of tenacity, a lot of mental work too.
Yes.
That people don't understand, that it's like you see a blank week and you're like, there's some weeks that probably I'm sure comes to you super fast, and some weeks that you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I'm
Thank you. This is incredible. So thank you.
One last question.
Sure, sure.
What is the most important hire you have done for your blog so far? The most important investment you have made that has saved you and made you the most profit?
Definitely my tech guy.
I love it.
Yeah. My tech guy. And you know, we are friends. We've been together for so long now. And the funny thing is that he is in London. So we never met. So it's always like chatting and stuff. And we have our conversations, our Zoom juntas from time to time. He's probably my best hire. But I feel that everybody that has been on my team for a week or for years or for whatever, everybody has contributed and left a huge, huge amount of work and love and wisdom and everything in Piloncillo Vainilla. So I'm super appreciated and grateful for everybody that has been around with me in this journey. Love it.
So how big is this now? How big is this production now? How many people are you, how many people do you have in your team?
Well, no, right now it's my tech guy, my designer, and me. That's it. Yeah, I was working with a brand manager, but I decided to not be part of her
agency.
To not do that. This year. To start this year, I needed like a fresh start.
Yeah, I love it.
This is incredible. Yeah. Well, I love what you're doing. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, every time I meet somebody that has that much content out in the world, I'm like, girl, there's a lot of work that goes into it. So congrats.
Thank you so much. I love being here with you, talking, catching up.
And we have to do another vegan mole situation
No. That's what I'm going to say, that I'm a huge fan, and everybody that hasn't tried their mole, they have to. It's a must in life. It's delicious.
Thank you.
Really, really
good. Thank you so much. Thank you. And we'll share your recipe too.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Besos, mil gracias. Bye-bye.
And we are back
on the show. And I also just realized that when you guys are listening to this, I'm going to be chilling on the beach. So, yeah.
Wow.
Hooray for me.
I mean, pray for us while you're over there.
Also, I do have my pick because I forgot about this when I... Okay.
Aside from your book.
Correct. Pangla, can you give your pick? Can your pick be my book and then I'll give my pick?
Sure.
Because I'm sure you're not... Because I am... Hello. I guarantee that you are probably not so... ready? Prepared?
For my pick? Hey, hello. I have a pick.
Oh, you do?
But yes, I do. But actually, because we are talking about food this week and lots of food, my pick again will be Bricia's, my sister Bricia Lopez cookbook, Asada, that is launching in April. Pre-order it on Amazon, guys. Pre-order it on whatever you find your books. Let's make this a number one again for Bricia. Please. New York Times bestseller.
Yes, manifesting.
Asada, manifesting. Oh, guys, no, seriously though. Not just because she's my sister, not just because she's saying that I should make it at my tip, but I for real, legit love this book, the recipes. I am dreaming of that Puerto Escondido tostada, that pineapple salsa. It's amazing. Please go out there and pre-order and support your girl. Support your super mama, please. That's my pick, sister. That's my pick.
My pick is going to be a bathing suit company that I found. So this bathing suit company is called Hunzag, H-U-N-Z-A-G, Hunzag or Hunza, Hunzag.
H-U-N-Z-A-G.
Okay. So I would have never bought this bathing suit had I seen it on the internet, because it's a one size fits all, number one.
Oh.
So you're like, that makes no sense. But I bought it when I was in Hawaii with my husband last time. They had it in the boutique at the hotel. I wanted to buy a new bathing suit. Let me tell you, It is my favorite freaking bathing suit. And I have seen it since then on the internet with other body types. And it looks amazing on everyone. Oh, wow. It's crazy.
Is it the one piece?
I have two piece and a one piece. And like you all know, I'm going to be at the beach. So I got myself another new bathing suit from the same company. And I thought it was amazing. So that's my pick today. If you're looking for a summer bathing suit.
It looks like the material is very hugging to your body.
Yes. It's like stretching. So it's, I don't understand. It's like the sisterhood travel bathing suit pair of bathing suits. I don't know if I'm making any sense. What's it? Traveling sisterhood? Traveling sisterhood.
That's so funny. One size fits. Like
it's
everybody?
One size. Yes. It's one size fits all.
Wow. That's crazy.
I'm not crazy.
Ooh, I'm going to try it. That is crazy. Huh. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go to the beach anytime soon until the summer.
But that's the thing is like you can always buy it because it doesn't matter if you gain or lose weight. It's going to fit you.
I like
that. Like it's a one size that. Fits all.
Pero qué tal si lo agarro ahora and then I stretch it and then when I become
no,
skinny.
No, that's not the way. It's like so when you see it in person, it's so small. You're like, this is not going to fit me. It's just weird. It was weird when I saw it. I wouldn't have believed it.
I see. I see what kind of anything that is.
I wouldn't have believed it if it wasn't because I tried it.
All right. Anyway, that is the show for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Go check out all the things that we mentioned. Ale's website, Bricia's book, the bathing suit, everything. Go check out the movie Hook 2. That is it. We'll see you guys next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your super mama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline, 424-329-3707, and leave us a message or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love. And
see you next week, Super Mamas!